Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we explore A Hunter-Gatherer's Guide to the 21st Century, a compelling look at the stark contrasts between ancient evolutionary drives and today's modern lifestyles. Authored by evolutionary biologist Heather Haying and academic Brett Weinstein, this book delves into how our primal instincts are often at odds with the fast-paced, technologically driven world we navigate daily. Heather Haying, recognized for her expertise in evolutionary ecology and consciousness, along with Brett Weinstein, known for his contributions to biology and public discourse, offers a profound analysis of how modern living constrains our natural inclinations and potential. The book is a treasure trove for anyone interested in psychology, evolutionary biology, or natural history. It offers deep insights and actionable advice on how we can align our ancestral rhythms with the demands of contemporary society. Join us and unlock the wisdom of the past to flourish in the complexities of the present and future. Whether you're a fan of natural history or seeking to understand the deeper evolutionary aspects of human behavior, this episode is for you. A Hunter-Gatherer's Guide to the 21st Century, Evolution and the Challenges of Modern Life. Introduction. Rediscover your roots. How embracing your evolutionary past can transform your modern life. In this era of unparalleled prosperity and technological advancement, a paradox arises. Wealth and convenience have soared, yet happiness and well-being have plateaued or even declined. From increasing loneliness to declining health, modern human beings seem trapped in a world that, while abundant, leaves them unfulfilled and disconnected. Why do we experience this dissonance? The answer harks back to our evolutionary heritage. This chapter explores how the human body and mind, designed for a hunter-gatherer lifestyle, grapple with the demands and conditions of contemporary life. Evolution has sculpted us across millennia, but the rapid changes of the modern world often clash with this long history, leading to a myriad of psychological and physiological issues. Here, you'll journey through the insights that dissect the mismatch between our evolved traits and today's world. Understand how the rampant use of screens impacts the developmental stages of our children, potentially stunting their emotional and social growth. Dive into the fundamental role of sleep from an evolutionary perspective and why modern habits are disrupting this critical biological function. Explore the intriguing reasons behind sexual reproduction and how our reproductive strategies align with deeper evolutionary objectives. This exploration is more than an academic exercise. It underscores the urgent need to realign our modern lifestyles with the wisdom ingrained in our biological blueprint. By acknowledging and adapting to our ancestral roots, we not only address the ailments of the present, but pave the way for a healthier, more harmonious future. Part 1. Geometry Meets Evolution, Unveiling the Impact of Modern Shapes on Our Perception. Have you ever encountered the illusion where two identically sized lines look unequal due to their differing arrowheads? This optical trick baffles many, yet not all are deceived by it. For those raised in hunter-gatherer cultures like the San Bushmen of southern Africa, recognizing these lines as the same length comes easily. However, those from weird backgrounds, Western, educated, industrialized, rich, and democratic nations, typically struggle. The geometry that dominates our environments in these weird societies provides a crucial clue as to why our visual perception might differ from those who live amidst nature's more irregular forms. The rigid and precise structures of urban landscapes, such as perfectly straight timber and exact edges, potentially dull our ability to interpret varied visual information. But the differences between weird societies and more traditional ones extend beyond optical illusions. Consider appendicitis, a common ailment in industrialized nations, yet relatively rare in developing countries. This might be surprising until we consider the function of the appendix. It's not just a vestigial organ, but a haven for beneficial gut bacteria. In less sanitized environments, common gastrointestinal disruptions help repopulate gut flora from the appendix, thus maintaining a healthy balance of microorganisms essential for digestion. In contrast, the excessive cleanliness of weird habitats may disrupt this natural microbial ebb and flow, leading to higher rates of appendicitis. This insight highlights a broader implication. Our modern surroundings and lifestyles might be subtly undermining natural abilities and processes shaped by millennia of evolution. Be it our perception skewed by the geometry around us, or our digestive health rocked by our overly sterile conditions, the modern world reshapes how we function in ways we might not fully appreciate or understand. By examining these often overlooked impacts, we receive a stark reminder of the profound and sometimes perplexing ways in which our environments mold our physical and mental faculties. Part 2: Exploring the Diversity of Human Diets. One size does not fit all. What constitutes the perfect diet? This question has sparked endless debates and spawned numerous diets claiming to mimic the ancient ways of eating, such as the raw food diet and the Paleolithic or Paleo diet. These approaches often suggest eschewing modern foods like grains and dairy, focusing on what our pre-agricultural ancestors supposedly ate. But when we turn to evolutionary history for answers, we find a complex picture. The essential insight is this: there is no singular ideal diet that suits all humans universally. Humans have adapted to a variety of diets based on the ecological niches they occupied. Consider the Inuit populations of northern Europe, who traditionally consumed diets rich in meat and fat, with minimal carbohydrates. Their bodies have adapted to this regimen over generations, making it suitable for their specific genetic makeup and living conditions. Then look at individuals from the northern Mediterranean, who thrive on diets high in carbohydrates like cereals. These examples illustrate the vast dietary adaptations that human populations have undergone, showing that promoting a universal diet as the ancestral norm is fundamentally flawed. What worked dietary-wise for one group in a specific environment may be entirely unsuitable for another. Turning our attention to the raw food diet, its advocates argue for its superiority by claiming it's more natural. However, this perspective misses critical evolutionary advancements brought about by cooking. Cooking food has been a transformative development for human beings. It greatly increases the energy we can derive from food, reduces eating and digestion time, and unlocks nutrients that are otherwise inaccessible or indigestible in raw forms. Moreover, cooking plays a vital role in food safety by destroying harmful pathogens and neutralizing toxins present in some raw foods. It also allows food preservation techniques such as smoking, which have enabled humans to store food for longer periods and travel extended distances. In essence, while the allure of returning to a supposedly natural diet is strong, it overlooks the profound benefits that cooking and dietary diversity have offered our species throughout evolutionary history. Rather than seeking an elusive one-size-fits-all diet, a more effective approach recognizes and respects the diverse dietary adaptations that different human populations have evolved over millennia. Part 3: The Logic of Sexual Reproduction in a Changing World. Why is human sex and reproduction so complex and costly? If the ultimate aim is to disseminate our genes, the process seems remarkably inefficient. After all, each sexual reproduction event results in a sharing of only 50% of our genetic material. Wouldn't it make more sense to replicate ourselves asexually, like Komodo dragons or some frogs, passing on all of our genes directly? Here lies a profound evolutionary truth. Sexual reproduction is fundamentally suited for survival in an uncertain world. The rationale is straightforward. Asexual reproduction, passing on an unchanged genetic blueprint, only confers an advantage in a static environment, one that does not change. However, Our world is anything but static. It is fraught with unpredictability, like natural disasters, disease outbreaks, and climatic shifts. Mixing genes through sexual reproduction allows for genetic diversity, creating offspring with new genetic combinations. These variations may enhance adaptability to new or changing environments that parents have not encountered. Moreover, evolution has endowed males and females with distinct biological and psychological traits, a phenomenon known as sexual dimorphism. This difference manifests in varied risk profiles for certain diseases, such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and even varies in susceptibility to addiction and migraines. Further, broadly speaking, there seem to be general personality divergences between the genders. Studies suggest that women typically exhibit higher levels of altruism, compliance, and trustworthiness than men. Conversely, men often show a preference for interacting with objects, whereas women are more inclined to engage with people. These general trends do not imply that all individuals fit these patterns, but highlight average differences across populations. Every known human culture has developed language to distinguish between sexes, underscoring the universality and importance of sexual differentiation. Despite the higher genetic cost of sexual reproduction, its benefits in fostering resilience and adaptability in offspring are undeniable, illustrating why sex is not just a biological imperative, but a strategic one in our ever-evolving world. Part 4: The crucial role of exploration in childhood development. Human beings boast the longest childhoods of any species, a period filled with learning and growth. From the tentative first swings of a baby orangutan to the complex social interactions of adolescent ravens, the animal kingdom teems with examples of how young creatures learn to navigate their worlds. At the heart of this learning process is a key concept. To become fully mature adults, children must be given the freedom to explore and discover. Though humans aren't born as blank slates, our brains exhibit incredible plasticity, more so than any other species. At birth, for instance, we possess the remarkable ability to discern sounds and tones from any language, a capability that narrows as we age, focusing on the specific languages we're exposed to. Similarly, our brains start with an excess of neurons, many of which we lose by adulthood because they aren't used. One might wonder, wouldn't retaining these linguistic capabilities and extra neurons be beneficial? The reality is, maintaining these unused capacities would require excessive energy, outweighing their potential benefits. Thus, during childhood, we gradually adapt to our environment, retaining only the traits and skills critical to our survival and thriving in it. This adaptive process underscores why it's vital for children to explore their surroundings freely. Unfortunately, modern parenting often inhibits this natural exploration. Today's parents, with the best intentions at heart, sometimes overschedule their children's lives, micromanage their activities, or substitute physical play with digital interaction. These practices, although meant to protect or educate, can actually hinder a child's ability to develop fully functioning adult capabilities. By arranging every minute of a child's day or replacing real interaction with screen time, we prevent them from engaging wholly with their environment. This not only curtails their natural curiosity, but also impedes the brain's ability to refine itself as evolution intended. Therefore, fostering an environment where children can freely explore and interact with their surroundings is crucial. It's not merely about allowing them to grow, but enabling them to optimize their inherent capabilities and adapt effectively to the ever-changing world. Part 5: Why sleep is more than just downtime for humans. Ever pondered whether you could achieve more if you didn't have to sleep? Like humans, almost all animals share the necessity of sleep. Interestingly, if there's intelligent extraterrestrial life, they likely sleep as well. To grasp the reason behind this universal behavior, it's essential to look at the evolutionary rationale behind sleep. The key insight here is, sleep is our body's solution to a very specific biological challenge. It's physically impossible for any species to develop a vision system that is equally efficient both day and night. Such versatility would necessitate two distinct sets of eyes, each adapted for different light conditions, thereby requiring a significantly larger brain with much higher energy demands. Consequently, species including humans have evolved with vision specialized for optimal functioning during certain times, day or night. This specialization determines when an animal is most ecologically productive, typically during periods when their vision is most effective. This adaptation raises a crucial question. What should an animal do during the time when its vision is less effective? For early humans and other species, remaining active during these off-peak hours posed considerable dangers, such as higher susceptibility to predators. Hence, evolution favored a period of dormancy, sleep, as a strategy to conserve energy when not engaged in productive activities. While this explains the origin of sleep, it also suggests that if extraterrestrial beings exist with similar day-night cycles, they too might have evolved a form of sleep. However, the purpose of sleep has evolved in humans. With our complex brains, it became evolutionarily advantageous not to shut down entirely during sleep. Thus, we developed the capacity to dream. Dreaming serves as a cognitive playground where our brains simulate past experiences and future possibilities. This unconscious processing allows us to experiment with different responses to various situations and integrate new information learned during the day. Initially, humans might have started sleeping as a mere survival mechanism. Yet, as our cognitive abilities advanced, so did the functions of our sleep, transforming it into a crucial period for mental processing and problem solving. Our dreams are not just random neural firings, but are pivotal for our cognitive enhancement and emotional regulation. Part 6: The Pitfalls of Reductionism in Medical Science. What is truly effective in curing your ailments? This question became personal for one of the authors in 2009 when faced with recurring laryngitis, advised to embark on a regimen of strong pharmaceuticals along with additional medication to counteract side effects, she chose a different path. Her decision was rooted in a critical insight often overlooked by the medical community. Introducing foreign substances into the body can sometimes do more harm than good. This insight highlights a broader issue, the dangerously reductionist approach to health that pervades scientific thinking. Reductionism refers to the practice of simplifying a complex system, in this case the human body, to its individual components. While modern medicine can craft drugs to target specific physiological processes with precision, this approach often ignores the intricate interplay of mental, hormonal, and organ communication within our bodies. The complexity of these systems can mean that what heals one part may inadvertently harm another. This kind of reductionism can lead to treatments that, while potentially beneficial for one narrow aspect of health, may compromise overall well-being. Consider the example of fluoride in public drinking water. Initially introduced to combat tooth decay, its inclusion was based on its association with dental health improvements. However, the broader implications were less well considered. Numerous studies have suggested potential links between fluoridated water and various adverse effects, including neurological issues in children and increased rates of hypothyroidism. This situation illustrates that what might seem like a straightforward solution, fluoride as a prevention for tooth decay, can have complex, unintended consequences. Another instance of reductionist thinking can be found in the food industry's use of propionic acid. Added to foods to inhibit mold growth and extend shelf life, propionic acid has also been associated with detrimental effects on fetal brain development and potentially elevated autism rates among exposed children. Once again, the convenience of a magic bullet solution masks a deeper, more problematic impact. These examples underscore a critical lesson from evolutionary biology. In the complex ecosystem of the human body, simple solutions seldom address problems without creating new ones. Recognizing the limits of reductionist approaches is crucial for advancing a more holistic and effective understanding of health and treatment. Final summary. Evolutionary biology teaches us a fundamental principle that every benefit comes with its own set of costs. Despite this, in our modern world, we often find ourselves embracing the conveniences, medical advancements, and technologies available to us without considering their potential drawbacks. This oversight, rooted in a misunderstanding of evolutionary trade-offs, contributes significantly to various health issues and impacts the normal developmental processes from childhood to adulthood. In our pursuit of ease and comfort, we frequently overlook how these benefits might be offset by negative consequences. For example, while modern medicine provides remedies for immediate ailments, its reductionist approach often fails to consider the body's complex, interconnected systems, leading to unintended side effects. Similarly, our dependency on technology, although enhancing connectivity, can impede physical and social developmental milestones in children. The essence of this lesson is the recognition that while evolution has equipped us to navigate an ever-changing world, the contemporary landscape introduces challenges that our ancestors never faced. By acknowledging and adjusting for these evolutionary trade-offs, we can better navigate the complexities of modern life, ensuring our interventions and innovations truly enhance our well-being without detrimental trade-offs. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.